It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. We are back with part three of this series talking about magic. And on this episode, we're going to try to get into some potential solutions that allow us to maybe see through the deception and really understand how the magic works and what we can do to kind of see through to the other side. Jeff?
Let me ask you this, because this works in our whole magic thing. Because what we really want to do is help people to be better, more critical thinkers so that we're not deceived by the magic, whether it be in our daily affairs or what's said from the TV. How do you spot a liar? Right?
That's a good question.
That's hard for a blind guy, right? How do you...
I actually think it's easier for me to spot one because I'm not enamored by the flashy bells and whistles. I'm going to listen to what it is you say. So I'm going to take your words, and which... you see how they move words just ever so slightly all the time, right? And then all of a sudden they have new definitions. But then do those words align with your actions? So in 2016, for example, just to keep on the conversation we're having here, I voted for Donald Trump, but only based on the fact of I thought the other candidate has already had a long history of deception, a lot of mysterious things surrounding their high rise to success, right?
Absolutely.
So I was definitely not a Donald Trump fan, but for the fact of, I think it's better than the alternative.
Yeah, if you'll lie over little things, I think it's reasonable to conclude you'll lie over big things.
Sure. Right?
You know, I'm not one of those who says, well, if they shift their eyes to the left, it means they're lying.
They touch their
ears. I don't know the psychology of things, but I know this. Every one of us, built in us all, is a natural desire to preserve one's self-interest, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you can't escape that. That's part of what it means to be a sentient, thinking human being with desires and wants. So a simple test, and it only works... my situation, really, with people you know, if you're trying to truly get an honesty check of the person, is to ask simple questions for which you know the answer and you know the answer, where they would have an interest in not being entirely truthful, and ask them and see what they say. Because again, if they'll lie to you with little things, they'll lie to you with big things.
Sure. And what kind of answer are you getting? Are you getting a runaround worth of a deflection that actually never really answered the question? Are you getting a straight up lie? Are you getting the actual truth?
Right. There's different ways of lying.
I think the best liars are those who can give you an answer that actually in reality had not much to do with the question that you just asked, but gave you a satisfactory response.
Right. There's different ways. You just said there's different ways of lying. You can outright lie and just say, no, I didn't steal that piece of cake, right?
Sure.
What you can also do is redirect attention, like you just said. They answer a question that you never asked for the sole purpose of never telling you the truth,
mm-hmm.
right? But so did they outright lie to you? Well, technically, no. But they led you to believe they answered the question, which is what we call deception. And that's the big one, deception. And deception's got many paths too. Deception can be just the omission of certain key facts that when removed, allow a person to draw conclusions that are inaccurate. And when you knowingly do that, what you've done is lied. It's deception. Now, you think about defining lying that way, most of us, if not all, have lied because we have... in recounting facts or giving an answer, intentionally self-preservation.
Sure, withheld a little bit of this here, a little bit of that there.
Specifics because it served our purpose to not incriminate ourselves. Test question. Here it is. You ready? And you want me to do it on you? So you got to think hard about this. And I'm setting you up.
I don't know if I want you to do it on me.
Are you a good person?
I have good moments.
What's that mean?
I think I have times where I get it right. And I also think I have times where I fall short. So would I say in general that I'm a good person? No.
That's honesty.
Yeah. I think I move in general, not always, but in general with good intentions. But yeah. I think in saying that, like I just described, you can move with good intentions and still not always get it right.
Yeah. Here's how I'd answer it. No, I'm not, but I want to be.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And so
I'm a better person than I used to be. I can tell you that.
There you go. So I'm improving, but I'm not a good person. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I understand that within me, as good as I want to be, there is still an evil desire within me to do things I should not do.
Sure.
And as long as those exist, the potential exists that I will do things that are evil, which makes me not good.
Mm.
And listen, I'm going to tell you, you asked that question probably to most people,
you're going to probably get 95 that say.
Most are going to say they're good because in their view, they honestly don't view themselves correctly. They give themselves out. They give themselves excuses and they omit. They crop like we do our Facebook and social media. Mm-hmm. They crop the images to only show
the highlights.
Right.
Yeah.
And listen, if you don't think you don't do this, do you get primped up before you leave the house? That's a form of deception. You don't wake up like that. Okay? You are putting your best foot forward. Well, I was taught to do that. Yes, you were taught to lie. Most people say they want truth, but the truth is,
most people don't.
We think of truth like we do breath. We don't care so much about a person's breath. We're happy with a Tic Tac. Just make it smell good. Just mask the smell. And I think that
it's a good way to look at truth, though.
It is.
If we can put a mask on it, then we're okay with it.
Well, mask on false. What's tolerate false? It. We will gladly receive untrue information so long as it's perceived as delightful or good.
Well, and I feel like somebody kind of hit on this a little bit yesterday during the sermon. It might have been you at the end, talking about getting back to self-responsibility. And over the past, I would say, a few decades especially, we have given up our self-responsibility for comfort. And my goodness, don't let me act like I'm not somebody who's done that. I like comfort just as much as the next person.
Sure, yeah.
And as a result, though, and accepting that truth, and kind of to go back at what I was going to point at with Donald Trump, is his messaging is very much about we are giving the power back to you, the people. But along with reclaiming that power and understanding the power that you have, comes a lot of self-responsibility. There's going to be a lot of things that, well, as a result of you claiming this responsibility, a lot of these maybe funded programs are going to go away. It's going to be a little more difficult in the onset, right? I mean, you're going from full-blown what feels like comfort to, man, this sucks.
I think one of the number one issues in America today is our lack of taking personal responsibility for outcome. We just, we want to point fingers at others. But when I look at the political climate, and I want to back up from names in particular, and I don't know how anyone, I don't care which side of the spectrum you fall on, even if you're in the cult, I don't know how anyone can acknowledge that we are in a place where people, again, that polarization with responsibility, with outcome, with steering, with the magic, with the lies, we're all leaning into a narrative that we prefer.
Sure.
And if we're not careful, we're being steered. And I'll say it this way. If you can't look at objectively backing up from the, however you feel about the two polarizing candidates for 2024, are they both being treated, don't answer this, but are they both being treated equally in the justice system? It's like, for example, is one's crimes being glossed over while another's crimes are being persecuted?
And exaggerated.
And possibly exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't acknowledge that there are two justice systems, there's something wrong with you.
100%.
If you can't acknowledge that they have pinpointed one individual who has at this point less power, I hate to use the word targeted, but targeted this individual, be it through the judicial system.
Well, at this point, literally have targeted him. Yes.
Whether we're talking their Bill of Rights, their First Amendment right, you pick the categories. It is not a far stretch to say that whether it is an organized affront from a group that is reminiscent to previous presidents, or just a small rogue group, or an individual who was wound up based on the rhetoric and permission he felt from the statements others made who never acted upon them. Regardless, there is a group who sides with this individual who did what he did, who represent a demographic of America.
little more on the speculative or conspiratorial side. But nowadays, I mean, if you're a conspiracy theorist, you just got to wait about 3 months and you're probably going to be proven right in some fashion. I'm just saying, man.
Yeah.
It's you know, that's a term called, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. And then 3 months later, it's like, well, actually, that's right now. But since we told you it's right, it's right. It's not a conspiracy.
The irony of that statement was it was created over a previous president being taken out. And that was a psyop that was meant to shame people who dare thought for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
True conspiracies do happen. What is a conspiracy? Look it up.
Yeah. A group of people coming together to carry out an act.
A plan. Yeah, they had a plan. You know, we're talking about lies. And so I just, you know, and I know we've been talking about this for a little while. So I just want to come out for the record. And because I'm a good person who never lies.
Oh. All
right. I want to say that our president is the sharpest he's ever been. And he is more clear and concise. I have zero concern about his present day leadership.
None.
Or where he will take us if he wins in 2024. And I can't wait to see what happens.
All right. I bet you all of the countries around the world who may have a special interest here, like that they've built up over the years, I bet they feel the same way.
Yeah,
I bet they're super afraid to make a move.
There is no reason to ever question his character, his method, his policies, his principles. The man is, I know Jesus is perfect, but Joe is a close.
There's a 1A, it's this guy.
Yeah, this guy. He is what I would call the 13th disciple. He didn't make the 12. He's the 13th.
All right.
Right. I mean, this guy is perfect.
Sheesh.
So everyone should know that and just do whatever he tells you.
Oh, man. But to kind of go back to the side of how you were just talking about masking truth, I think if we just take the two political spectrums that exist, you have the one side who is going to further expand. That's their agenda, is to further expand this comfort, right? With all of these social programs and the seeming comfort. Like, oh man, this feels good. It's easier in the moment. So you have people, well, yeah, we love, that's great. We're going to get this. We're going to get this paid for. This is going to get expanded. We're going to have this that does that. And we're going to be able to work less, do less, get more. And then you have the other side who is, this guy is our savior. We've been held out and discounted for so long. This guy is going to come in on a white horse and just save the day. We got to do nothing. Just kick back on our couch, turn on some TV, eat some chips, and like everything's going to be good again. Both of those are a lie.
The Titanic is busted in half. Nobody wants to leave a huge, expensive ship to get on a little dinghy, right? But when that's your only option, in the middle of freezing waters and freezing temperatures where you'll likely die before the rescue comes, the dinghy's better than the water.
Oh, sure.
And I think that's kind of where people are invading our country. The primary motivation is, aside from the small groups we'll call cells, but I think the vast majority are coming here because as the ship of the world sinks, we are the dinghy. What we are looking at as people in the dinghy, we're going, I'm here, I've got my seat. Where do you run to? And I think that's where we've got to shift. We're in a very volatile place as a nation, very sensitive, delicate. It won't take much for there to be a fracture that becomes seismic in its destructive potential.
It's like they keep pouring all the gasoline's there, all the matches is there. They just haven't yet found the spark that makes it go boom.
The truth behind magic, whether we're talking divination or we're talking about, you know, the magic that we call entertainment, both are steeped in lies. Divination convinces those who exercise it and even those who observe that the individual doing the divination, the witchcraft, the sorcery, has a power they do not have. Mm-hmm. What I mean is, it is demons working through that person to achieve an outcome that the person exercising the spell desires. All the while, vast majority of people, including sometimes the one doing the divination, is oblivious. They are being a vessel used by the demonic to achieve an evil outcome. So that's the first one. So it's steeped in deception, magic on entertainment. We know this and we pay for it. We are going to an event or are watching an event knowing the guy or lady is doing something that we know is deceiving us. And we're entertained because we can't see the trick.
Yeah. So the allure is in what is the deception?
Right. And we're trying to spot it. we're trying to see through it. One has greater consequence than the other. One's entertaining because he's just hiding a ball, or he's, you know, moving a dollar bill around that mm-hmm. he's going to give it back to at the end. Whereas the divination is achieving, again, an evil outcome that nobody, no sane person, no good person wants, right? But regardless, both are steeped in deception. And I think what's interesting here is that we've kind of, as a nation, come into a place where we have to acknowledge whichever degree we're dealing with, people are doing magic who are leading this nation. Now, I can't tell you whether it's of the demonic or of the entertainment, but regardless, it's steeped in deception. Mm. When you're in a cult, you want your cult's ideology at any cost.
And that's what scares me, right? Is I think there are some, as we've already discussed on prior episodes, is that I think there are some cultish aspects from both sides.
Yes.
I absolutely could see there being some type of a response, maybe not even from the other side of the equation, that then creates that dynamic of something like a civil war.
I don't care which side of the paradigm you're on. What we all have done, is chosen a party that we most identify with the outcome of what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that, hopefully, you 100% agree with everything those leaders are doing. If you do, I have genuine concern.
And we never stop to think, once again, we've said this also hundreds of times, but they're two wings of the same bird.
Right.
So I think right now you have those on the right, without allowing this to sit and simmer and like, let's just see what happens, what plays out of this. Who really is to blame? There's many of those on the right who have automatically jumped to the fact of it's definitely those on the left who did this. And if the shoe was on the other foot, it would be the exact same. It would be, oh, it was definitely those on the right who did this. When I think there's a fair chance it was probably somebody within that tight inner circle of control who would be doing it on both sides.
When I was in high school, I took driver's ed. And what was unique about our car, I don't know that all driver's ed cars are like this. In the floorboard, I thought I remembered he had a brake. He could hit the brakes. So if you were doing something that he didn't agree with, he could at any point stop the vehicle and take
control. Ultimately, you're going to put his life at risk. He can be like, hold up.
Or the other passengers in the back seat. So we all just took turns. I think of the parties this way. We take turns in who's driving. But it's a collaborative effort in the destination. While I was driving the car, I was only allowed to go where he, the passenger, told me I could.
Mm.
Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So together, we're working in simpatico in the end to go to the same destination. To me, that's both parties.
Mm-hmm.
They're in simpatico. Both parties, I believe, are owned by the God of this world. And I don't mean the God who made this universe.
You mean little g.
I mean little g. And the devil himself owns both parties. And I would warn any Christian about giving your soul allegiance to any party. Your soul allegiance is to Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. I think for me, that's kind of why I have always held strong to the independent factor of, I believe Donald Trump is a good leader, certainly no perfect man, and certainly not a man who's going to save the day in terms of, I think he's very good for, he's given people almost a candlelight of direction of like, hey, we might want to consider this alternative viewpoint and look this way, or like we're being led right off the train tracks. And I'm not saying he's went about that perfectly in all of his ways of leading, but I also would say who has?
This is the best seat in a very bad situation. There's nowhere for us to run to. Like there's no freer country than America. And so as people in this dinghy, in this lifeboat that we're in, we need to make a decision together. Because together we can do a whole lot more than we can by ourselves. And are we going to fix this situation or just sit here and wait for a rescue? And that's the problem. Because some are going to say, let's just not do anything.
The problem is you're not going to get a rescue.
You are the first responder.
You are the rescue.
You are the rescue. And it goes back to personal responsibility.
That's
America is what it is today. Hard truth. Because we allowed it to become this. We, not
factual.
I am not going to point a finger and blame a president. We are all active players. Somewhere along the way, we were convinced to keep our nose to the grind, keep your mouth shut, don't speak truth, It's okay to be a little deceptive and tell a white lie. We have allowed a group who 20 years ago was clearly labeled mentally ill to become the spokesmen and leaders of our country. And they are. And here we are sitting in a car heading toward hell in a destination. We're still in the car as opposed to demanding it be pulled over so we can do a course correction. I'm not kidding. We are heading to destruction fast and we don't want to acknowledge. And we're not going to change the direction until we take, all of us, personal responsibility. And again, you kind of alluded to it. Stop looking for a savior and step up and do your part in righting the ship.
Well, and even for those of us who are believers, I know there are people who aren't, obviously, but if you are a believer and you believe, okay, Jesus is returning, and you know, God is over my life, he has a hand in my life, an impact in my life, and you take no action upon yourself, that God's going to move for you, he's going to say, you know, you say, I have a mustard seed of faith, I want to move mountains. God's going to say, great, here's a shovel.
What was that parable about with the sheep and the goats? And the big... the big onus that if you read that parable, I think it's at the end of Matthew, what it's talking about is personal responsibility. And what you saw in a situation, a person in need, and what you personally did, you saw this man without food, and you had the means, and what you do in that moment determines your eternal destination. And what Jesus says to you, what he helps you understand, is what you did to the least of these, you did to me. And what you didn't do to these, you did to me. And what he's talking about that we don't want to acknowledge is personal responsibility. And we don't want to take it. But Jesus is telling you on judgment day, he's going to hold you accountable. And this middle of the road you're walking, thinking that you're going to be like, what was that? Was it Switzerland? You're going to sit there and do nothing and take no sides? I got news for you, buddy. There's two kingdoms. And you're picking one. And when you choose,
ain't a part of one by default, you're part of the other. You will be.
And Jesus has made very clear your indecision, your preferential desire to remain neutral is ultimately a desire to side and have sympathy for evil. And you'll be treated in kind. Each of us gets a choice. And I've heard many say it for my whole life. Heaven and hell's a choice. Vote.
Mm.
It's funny. We talk in both sides of our mouth in the church. We want to say that God's a gentleman and he doesn't impose himself on anyone. That's not entirely true, by the way. But look at the Apostle Paul, who was persecuting Christians. And hello, Damascus Road. That wasn't by Paul's choice. That was called a divine interruption. All that God did was he made Paul aware of he was serving evil while he thought he was serving good. Now, I want to say that again. All he did was make aware to Paul, you are serving this cult group over here who calls themselves of God. Hello, parties. How many parties are doing the very same thing today? Both sides are. When neither serve God. I'm telling you, neither serve God. Both are owned by the devil.
That's a great, I could think of two examples of our current Speaker of the House. You know, he prays on the House floor. He's got to be entirely of God, but yet like stands back and allows things to happen that you would think, how could you be of God and allow that to take place? And then to flip that, our current president goes to a pro-choice convention or rally, has a cross, talks about being Catholic as the entire thing is about aborting children. How can those two things be the same? That they are not the same. You can't destroy life. And well, yeah, this is exactly what God would do.
The Apostle Peter warned that many live their lives as enemies to the cross of Christ, and they will do so to their destruction. Jesus said in Matthew 7, I think it is, many will say to me on that day, judgment day, Lord, Lord. In other words, they recognized Jesus in their life. They called upon Jesus. In fact, you're going to read in that whole teaching there. They did miracles in his name, cast out demons. They did amazing things. And Jesus says, I never knew you. The point is, not everyone who claims Jesus is of Jesus. There are many today who invoke his name who are going straight to hell.
I came across this quote the other day. I thought it was pretty cool. When you get what you want, that's God's direction. And when you don't get what you want, that's God's protection. And I thought, man, that's really cool to...
Say that again.
When you get what you want, that's God's direction. And when you don't get what you want, that's God's protection. And that's a great way to constantly live in a state of gratitude.
It's hard for me to admit this, but Tyler, sometimes I love being lied to.
Like you look good in that shirt today or what?
It's maybe. You know where? Okay, when I ask my wife, am I fat?
She says, "No, honey, you're just big bone."
No, she says, "No, you're happy.
You're happy."
You talk about a redirection there. And what she's saying is, I love you no matter what. She never answered my question, but am I fat?
Oh, this is good, man. I feel that same energy.
I'll be honest. I have let that answer carry me to heavier places because I like the answer.
You're like, it felt good at 240, but man, 260, what?
Right. Right. Yeah. Not every promise made to us is true. We have to learn to test the spirits and to see who and what is of God. Stop and be able to process the outcome of whatever thing you're considering. Is it for good or for evil? Does it lead to life or death? Choose solely based upon those merits as opposed to your own will, desire, appetites, cravings, addictions, all on the list.
100%. As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com. Where you can catch up on past episodes as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. Peace, love, and God bless. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. And remember, eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
It's Blindly Obvious, baby.